Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Last night, the Padres came back to beat the Dodgers, and tonight they'll look to make it two in a row. Here in studio, we've got Jesse Agler, who's still getting back into the swing of being our host after so many days of calling the game.
I feel like me coming here derailed this entire show.
No. Actually, we were sort of discombobulated anyway. So we're going good.
Jesse knows that the only thing better than a Friday before a long weekend is being able to spend it with him and Kurt Bavacqua.
It's a nice happy hour option. So is this, you and me, right here on this couch.
I love it.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Kurt Bavacqua.
Welcome back, Padre Social Hour, presented by United. I say welcome back. This is the start of the show. You haven't missed anything. I say it because we're back here at Petco Park. We're back here at the AMR studio. And Beer Fest out at the park is taking place. The final Beer Fest of the 2015 season. That's sad. There's a sadness.
The last time.
There's a sadness that I feel saying that that's the last Beer Fest of the year. So if you weren't planning on coming out here and you said, oh, I'll go to the next Beer Fest. Nuh-uh. Last one. Get out here now. Enjoy it. Dodger game afterward. What could be bad? Welcome. You're Kurt Bavacqua.
Yes, I am.
I'm Jesse Agler.
Yes, you are.
Wild game last night.
Ooh.
And we'll get to it. But there is actually bigger news than all the million things to discuss from yesterday's game. Kurt is very excited. He is punching the air. If you're listening on radio, he is punching the air with excitement because not only is Will Myers back with the Padres, he is in the starting lineup. This is our AMR injury report, and it is a happy injury report.
Injury report? That's breaking news.
That's Will
That's
Myers
good stuff.
Starting at first base tonight, not up at Elsinore for the Storm, here against the Dodgers for the Padres. That's good.
That really is good. And couple that with the way guys are swinging the bats right now, it's a good situation. There's nothing that tickles my innards more than beating the Dodgers.
That does your what now?
Tickles my innards.
Okay.
Yeah. More.
Than beating the
nothing.
Dodgers.
Nothing. Yeah. Absolutely nothing.
I believe that.
My kids' Little League team beating the other team doesn't compare.
Less
tickling. I don't know why.
Of the innards.
But you know why I think it is? Because for 2 weeks, I've been sending stuff to the media department up there, the promotions department, asking about Manny Mota, the possibility of Manny Mota coming down and being on the show, being here. The possibility of Vin Scully coming by tomorrow night for 5 minutes after the game on the post, not one response.
They've ignored you?
So I think they feel the same way about me that I feel about them.
And who could blame them, really?
It's fine.
Yeah,
I have no problem.
I was going to say, you wouldn't be upset by that.
No.
Probably a little bit of you would like the fact that they're upset with you.
I kind of thought about that.
Vin is not here, by the way.
He's not.
No. So at least on that one, you're not, missing out or anything like that. He only did, I think, Anaheim on the road this year.
Okay.
That was it. He was here last year.
He wasn't here earlier in the year?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah. Because I would go by to say hi.
Yeah, maybe it was last year.
Last year he was here. The last time he was here was the end of last season.
Okay.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was this year that I met him in the bathroom. We kind of crossed paths. And we shook hands. It was good.
Before or after?
After.
Everyone at the sink?
Yes.
Okay. That's good. That's how you want that to go. Anyway, yes. Will Myers back in the starting lineup. Vin Scully restroom stories aside. and this is really, really good news. Obviously, like you said, the way they're swinging the bats, you get another piece back, everything like that. But also for Will Myers, an opportunity to test out the wrist, to gain confidence in the wrist, and hopefully everything goes well. He can go into the offseason not even thinking about the wrist.
And I think you can feel secure about the fact that he's 101%. There's no doubt that he feels perfect going back into it because he learned his lesson. I talked to him a couple of weeks ago. He said he was definitely not going to come back if it was bothering him in the least. So I am so excited about him getting back in the lineup. I'm sure he is also.
There's a maturity thing there, right? Sort of understanding that, hey, when we're young, we feel invincible. And the moment it feels good enough, we want to rush back into the starting lineup. But that's not always the prudent thing to do.
No, not at all. It really isn't because – and he learned the hard way.
Right.
Some of us didn't have the opportunity to learn it that way. We tried to go back in. We let it go. We let it go. I was fortunate. I mean, I went through my entire career and never spent a day on DL.
Really?
Never.
Wow.
Not once.
Yeah, no, that's very rare.
It is rare. And really, especially in this day and age.
Yeah, oh, for sure. All right, so Will Myers back in the starting lineup. He is playing first base. Josh Stein, the assistant general manager, was speaking to the media before batting practice today. And one of the questions he got about Myers was, hey, have you guys thought about, you know, working with him maybe to swing a little bit differently, the grip on the bat, anything like that that could impact the wrist? And he kind of, you know, was like, hey, that's not a simple thing to do, is just change the way a guy holds or swings the bat. And who knows down the line, maybe that is a conversation that has to be had. But it's not quite as simple as, hey, don't swing with the one big hand like that. Because it's worked for him, he's been successful, and to try and kind of start over from a swing perspective, that ain't an easy deal.
When you have a wrist injury, a wrist is an essential part of a baseball swing. I mean, it's wrist. We've heard about that since day one.
Right.
And that's what it's all about. So in order to eliminate using your wrist trying to hit a baseball, it's just not going to happen. So to try to become a different hitter than he already is, I don't think that's going to happen either. I think we can look forward to Will Meyer going forward in his career the same way he's been for all the years that we've watched him play, except this time without injury because he got it taken care of.
All right, and that's certainly the hope, and that was another thing Josh Stein said today, which was that you know, they feel like the shaving down of the bone spur, which was the surgery that they did, will put him in the clear moving forward. That was really the root of all of these issues that he's had with the wrists, was that the bone spur kept getting in the way, it kept doing things, and so now they've corrected that, and they feel good about it moving forward. Time will tell, but certainly an exciting day for the Padres this season, as Will Myers, not only back with the ball club, but also in the starting lineup. That is the All Smiles and Rainbows AMR Injury Report. American Medical Response is the emergency medical response team for Petco Park and wants to remind you to stay safe, San Diego. To learn more about AMR, visit amr-sandiego.com. All right, we got a lot coming up on today's show, Bavacqua.
No kidding.
Don Welke is going to stop by from the front office. Before the final game against Texas this week, Don was honored by both ball clubs for his 50 years of service in professional baseball. So we'll go back over memory lane with Don Welke, who, if you haven't seen an interview with him or you haven't had the opportunity to meet him or shake his hand, is one of the absolute best people on planet Earth. Like, forget the baseball stuff. He is just an incredibly kind human being who has seen everything in the game of baseball. So anytime you get an opportunity to hang out with Don Welke, you take advantage of it. He'll be stopping by. Last night, one of the highlights of the game certainly was Yanhervis Solarte going Western Metal in the home run department. And there was all kinds of Twitter buzz during the game last night about the number of homers that have gotten to the upper levels of this building that we're in right now, the Western Metal Supply Company building. And Mike Grace, our buddy, he went digging through like the old, like the phonographs to find the video highlights. I know that's not how that works, but he went through, you know, like all the old video, the Betamax, and some of the great crazy highlights of the long home runs here. So we're going to go over some of the longest home runs ever hit to the Western Metal Building. We're talking Miguel Cabrera. We're talking Khalil Green. Last year, Raimer Liriano went up top here, and obviously last night, Yanhervis Solarte. In addition to all of that, Summer Barmas is going to come by, and also Kristen Eck, who's engaged to be married to one Derek Norris, and they've got a cool fundraiser going on this weekend, so we'll talk to them about that. Lots to get
Twitter
to, KB.
Follower of Kristen.
There you go. She was tweeting at the show the other day.
She was.
That's exactly right. And speaking of Twitter, the hashtag to join our conversation is PadresSH. That's how you hop on board. Just use the hashtag PadresSH. Questions, comments, etc. So we got all of that coming up. And when we return, Don Welke will be here. Have a nice conversation with the guy we call Coach about his career in baseball. Be at Petco Park tomorrow to be one of the lucky fans to get a surprise giveaway item as part of Baseball Night in San Diego. And then stay after the game as Will Ferrell will premiere his comedy special, Ferrell Takes the Field. Get your tickets at Padres.com. Ferrell Takes the Field tomorrow on the big board here at Petco Park after the game. We'll take a break. Come back. Don Welke when we return. This is Padres Social Hour presented by United.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Well,
We're back at the AMR studio at Petco Park. Game 2 between the Padres and the Dodgers coming up at 7:10. James Shields will be on the mound against Mike Bolsinger and his curveball. Pods took Game 1 of the series last night 10-7. It was one of the craziest, wildest, weirdest games that we have had all season long. And we've barely talked about it, Kurt Bavacqua, because we spent the entire first segment celebrating Will Myers' return to the starting lineup. And now we're going to move the conversation even further down the line because Don Welke has joined us here. He is in the Padre front office. He's got a very, very fancy job title. But really, Don is a longtime baseball man, and he has done it all. He has seen it all. And we appreciate you coming by, first of all, Coach. Secondly, before the last game against the Rangers the other night, and you had worked at Texas before coming here to San Diego, they tried to pull a surprise on you and honor you for 50 years of service in Major League Baseball and professional baseball. First question, did they surprise you? Were they able to pull it over on you?
Yeah, just it was a big surprise. But at about 6 o'clock that night, I was in the elevator going up to my office, and the elevator man said, "Don," he said, "they're going to honor you tonight." And I said, "What?" And he said, "Yeah, it's right here in the Fryer program," or whatever it was. And he showed me that for 50 years, they're going to honor me tonight. About the same time, Scott Marshall had told me, "I want you to meet me, Don, about 6:30 down by the Lexus Club, because I got a great friend I want to introduce you to that I've known for a long time, and he's going to want to talk to you. You're going to want to meet him." So I started putting two and two together. Yeah. And then as things emanated, I really like to be in the background on things, but I'm not thrilled about, being in the forefront like that. But it did mean a lot to me that people went to the time and effort and so on to do something like that. And it meant a ton to me to hear the ball players that I've been associated with and the people and the family and the, everything that's been in the last 50 years in baseball come together a little bit on that night. It meant the world to me. But, now I'm just concerned about San Diego and getting things going here and helping to get things going in San Diego and having our fans and our people and the great people in the organization get some reward, too.
Very nice. I thought that was the highlight of the thing the other night. The videos they had on the big board from different guys you had scouted and signed over the years, just name after name after name, thanking you for what you did for their careers. Your family being there, was that a surprise at least?
Absolutely.
Okay, so that was cool.
Yeah, I walked out toward home plate and then, wow, here's all those people. And Sean Green's parents were there. My brother was there. A young man I went to high school with in 1960 was there.
Wow.
And, various people from out here in California that along the way, and that was definitely a surprise.
And they all kept the secret.
They did.
And the elevator operator blew it.
Yeah. Well, actually, he didn't blow it. He helped me a lot, I told him, "I'm going to take me to my office. Let me get off this elevator. Now I'm going to go to my office, shut the door, and I'm going to come out about the fifth inning."
You screwed the whole thing up. Don Welke is here. So what was your first job in professional baseball?
Well, actually, I was a bird dog type scout after I had finished college and had a chance to go pro in baseball. I had played a lot, semi-pro in college and so on, but didn't, and went into high school coaching, teaching, college coaching, teaching, and whatever, and all along the way was part-time and whatever, and worked in the Kansas City Royals Baseball Academy with Kurt remembers back in 1969 and so forth, and along the way there too. And then, went in with the Blue Jays for 20 years and been with Pat Gillick for 25 different years of that time. And, he's just a great builder of organizations. And, what makes it fun, and I'm sure you guys would concur with this, is the organization. The organization that you work with, the people that you work with every day, the organization is what speaks and what talks. And this is a tremendous city right here and great people in this organization, and we just want this organization to talk too.
If you were talking to a young person who wanted to get into professional baseball as far as the front office goes and they have aspirations of being a general manager or a scout, what would be your first piece of advice? I'm sure you've been asked that question so many times over the years.
Yeah, I mean, today is different than when I started. When I started, my first piece of advice would be to just get to know, be around scouts, be around the game, show your love and passion for the game. And basically, if you can somehow get your foot in the door, sit in the corner and listen to the old veteran guys and learn. Today, you know, it's more like get yourself into an internship with an organization, get your feel and get your name into the group and get your opportunity to prove yourself in one way or another, whether it's video, whether it's, you know, scouting, whether it's analytics, whether whatever it is today. But basically, I think it's the same in a lot of regards, and that is to show your passion and love and how much you want to do it. Just to like a player today, one of the most important things to me and all the guys I've seen or been around or scouting today, how much you want to love this game, how much you want to work to be great, not just good, to be very good, and how you can play 162 ball games and be special and love every minute of it. And that the love of the game is still a major thing in whatever avenue you aspire to get into this game.
And I think that part of it hasn't changed in the 50 years that you've been in the game. What is there any one thing that you've seen that has changed that's really surprised you from when you first started until now in the game?
Yeah, you mean as far as players or
as far as anything that has to do with the game?
Yeah, well, whether or not there's one, probably not just one thing, but there have been a lot of changes in the game, I think. I don't know. I think the way the agents are involved with the game a lot differently now than they were way back, and that's a major change
you
in
mean
the
Scott
game.
Scott Boras telling the Mets that Harvey can't pitch in the offseason in the postseason.
Well, what's up with that? You know, yeah. I mean, you know, there's got to be some sort of coming together between an organization, a scout, an agent, and a team. And there's got to be some sort of cooperation on those kind of things. And you've got to have the player in your corner in the organization and as a scout, too, and not only in the corner of the agent. You got to work all together on those kinds of different things. And I think that's one of the major differences. I'm sure you'd concur with that from the time you were signed and scouted.
The agents do have their nose and stuff, don't they?
Yeah, they're very instrumental, and they're only as instrumental as the player lets them to be.
Yeah, I think you're right
and,
there.
You know,
I think
so
that's true.
It depends. So there's another case where the inside of the player, the character of the player, the heart, and I know almost all those guys that were up on the board the other day, and I know when I would be with the Rangers and so on, and when we were able to, you know, talk about Josh Hamilton or Adrian Beltre or those kind of guys, I would always say, special, man, special. And when you do that, you know, he's special. That means a whole ball of wax. Jimmy Abbott, Sean Green, Dave Steve, Pat Henkin, Willie Blair, you know, all those kind of guys, you know, they're special. And they don't come along that often. The whole ball of wax is what's important for any player, scout, general manager, anything in baseball.
Catching up with Don Welke, you just mentioned Jim Abbott today, the anniversary of his no-hitter. It was September 4th in 1993, and you and I have actually had this conversation, but I'll just throw it out there conversationally. Like, to me, the most under-discussed moment in modern baseball history, when you really consider everything and how difficult it is to pitch and how difficult it is to throw a no-hitter, and for Jim Abbott to make it where he did in his career and to throw a no-hitter, I feel like that should be like the craziest thing that's ever happened to all of us, and it doesn't get talked about enough, in my opinion. I can't let you off the hook, Coach, without, you know, asking a question about this season, and obviously it was a big first year for this front office and the first year in charge here. So where do we go from here? Not to suggest we have all the answers at this point, and there's still, you know, just about a month to go in this season, but as we sort of point towards October, November, and beyond, where do we go, you know, as a Padre organization?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I think that we've tried to keep the team together. I think that we made decisions last winter to go for some impact-type players, and We thought we were going to get great pitching from our starters, and they're starting to pitch better now in the last 2 to 3 weeks or so. But, you know, I think in the future what we're looking at is still an evaluation process, and we're not exactly sure what direction to go for sure, but we have kept the team together. They are starting to mold together. They're starting to know each other better. They're starting to show flashes of being consistent. We've not really been consistent. So, you know, we do have a nucleus of guys that we think can take us, you know, in the direction we want to go in the future. But as far as knowing exactly what direction to go, they'll tell us. They'll tell us, you know, by the way they play, by the way others talk about our players. And like at the trade deadline came up, and, you know, we have the players that they have players that they like on our team. But if they're not going to give us what we think is value, so we value the players that we have, and we need to get value in return if we're going to make any moves like that.
Makes all the sense in the world, and we were thinking right along with you at the trade deadline. Don Welke, congratulations on the anniversary. I know you're not too much of a sentimentalist, but it's an incredible accomplishment, and just thanks for everything. It's been really, really wonderful getting to know you in the last however many months, and thanks for stopping by.
Thank you. It's a privilege for me to be here, and you know, I enjoy it.
Now thank you're just you. Making stuff up.
Thanks, Don.
Don Welke, as your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. We'll take a break, come back, and we're going to talk about home runs hit on top of this building. Has it happened? We discuss when we return. Padres Social Hour.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Starting Labor Day off weekend right here at Petco Park. Padres beat the Dodgers last night 10-7. Game two tonight. James Shields will be on the mound against Mike Bolsinger, who is fresh back from AAA OKC. For the Dodgers, we're going to turn on the old Cholula hot seat here. Mike Grace has joined us. Mike sometimes hosts the show. He is in charge of the Friar, all the game entertainment, all that good stuff here at Petco Park. And he's a little bit of a resident historian when it comes to this Padre team. He's been around for a while now. And last night, Bloopers got the highlight. Last night, Yonhervis Solarte hit a home run. That was a big home run in the win over the Dodgers, and that also made it to the, third level? Is that what we're going to refer to it as?
It's funny because it's the third deck, but it's the fourth floor, so I think that's where some of the confusion comes from. We're on the first floor, but you would never say this is the first deck, so third deck is probably appropriate.
Third deck slash fourth floor of the Western Metal Supply Company building. First one this year, I believe, that we've seen go up there. Last season, we saw one hit by Reimer Liriano. Late in the year, that actually went in one of the doors.
Yes.
Which I like. I feel like you should get an extra run for that because you've, like, hit the bullseye target or something.
I'd sign on for that. Absolutely.
We'll call Manfred.
Have you ever been up there?
Oh, yeah. It's high up, man.
Not only is it high up, you look at a home plate and you go, no way.
Right?
Exactly. I was just up there 2 days ago.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
The Liriano one, definitely longer than last night's. Further yes. away, I guess.
Two doors down.
Yeah, 2 doors down. Well said. One, this makes me even more excited for Home Run Derby in July.
It's all I could think about when I saw it.
That's it. That was the first thought that popped into my mind was like, my goodness. First of all, we're going to reinforce the glass here in our studio that faces out to left field because we're going to get peppered.
Can we make him sit down here the whole time so that he is just constantly?
Absolutely.
I mean, he'll have PTSD by the end of it.
He gets very frightened by things as it is. So I think that would certainly be entertaining for us is just watch him. Even if we tied him down, maybe.
poor Blooper.
Like, really freak him out. Go ahead. You have something to say, sir?
I really want to be in the outfield and check.
That's not going to happen. No. It's for little kids.
So?
You're not a child.
Almost.
Yeah. But anyway, so those were a couple long home runs. So all of this Twitter conversation going on last night about the longest home runs in Petco Park history that attacked the Western Metal Supply Company building. So Grace went through all the old video, and he came up with your best of list, basically.
Well, the thing was Bill and I have had this conversation for a while. Bill Center is absolutely convinced that a ball has been hit on the roof during a game. And I've missed maybe single-digit games since Petco Park opened. I mean, I'm here almost every single game. And I'm certain it has not happened. He is certain it has, and he still doesn't believe it, even though I've found video evidence that it hasn't happened of the home runs in question.
He's getting up there.
Well,
let's be real. Yeah. Can we call it what it is?
He was thinking of the home run derby that the softball players were having.
He might
be. That could have been it, the long haul bombers.
That's the only guys that have hit it up here. And then I've seen a couple in BP. But so, and there was a couple fans that thought they remembered them happening. So I wanted to go and find video evidence. I tweeted a picture of our storage room where all the beta tapes and DVC Pro tapes are. And the three dates that were in question, I found them, and it hadn't gotten on the roof. And again, it's something we talk about with the All-Star Home Run Derby.
It's happening.
Balls are going to get on the roof.
100%.
I mean, Giancarlo is going to put one up there.
Whoever it is.
I mean, a guy like that.
It's going up. Obviously will be a right-handed hitter, but somebody's going on the roof. There's no doubt in my mind. We all know about the special baseballs that they use for Home Run Derby. These aren't standard game balls. It's BP, and guys are trying to put on a show. So I agree with you. I would bet everything I've got that there will be at least one that gets up to the roof of this building, and probably more than one when we think about it. But your personal favorite, we've got three old ones we're going to show. Two from Khalil Greene, one from Miguel Cabrera. Maybe we start with Miguel Cabrera. Is that doable blooper? Because that was the one I think a lot of people on Twitter last night felt had made it to the roof of this building, like all the way up to the top. And you said, no, that is not the case. So this is Miguel Cabrera as a Florida Marlin. I mean, it's insane where it goes.
A svelte Miguel Cabrera. And I understand, because that ball looks like it's still going up. Like, that's the hardest hit of the three. And a young Miguel Cabrera, you're like, oh, wow, this guy's going to be special. And obviously we've seen him become a very special baseball player. So I understand why people thought that, because, I mean, this is an absolute laser up there. Sorry, Adam Eaton.
Yeah, he just put his head right down.
He's like, he knew. There was the camera didn't follow it right. It took
totally
another
wrong
angle to get it. So that was absolutely crushed. But, no, I mean, he hit it midway up across the deck and onto that top level, but not on the roof. But – impressive nonetheless. And then Khalil Greene was the one that Bill has always said that Khalil Greene put one on the roof.
It's August 4th, 2004, the first year of Petco Park. And, Bill Center, our dear friend, he was convinced that this ball ends up on the roof. We'll go ahead and watch it. It's against the Philadelphia Phillies. Again, August 4th, 2004. There was no high definition back then. That's why it's a square video. And just a ridiculous, ridiculous shot down the line. But that's sort of up where last night's was, Solarte's home run.
It was, and it was the first time. This was the first one to get up to this level. So obviously that was special. And Khalil just had this crazy connection with the fans. They just absolutely loved him. I don't know if any player outside of a Trevor Hoffman has been as beloved as Khalil was, and especially for a guy as quiet and unassuming as he was. I mean, the pitch is down and in, and he gets it up there. Super impressive. So I'll always remember that one because it was the first one to get up there. As they were building this place, that was the one thing we were so excited about, the foul pole being on the building and then getting it into the different levels of the building. And so when he did that finally, we were ecstatic. And
right.
I mean, that was a fun year just in general.
Of course. We got one more. It's from the next season, May of 2005. Again, Khalil Greene, this time against Atlanta. And another one of these up the Western Metal highlights. This was a day game. Marine layer and almost the same spot the very next year.
Yeah, this one looks actually a little harder hit, kind of on that same trajectory as Miguel Cabrera, but it's funny. So Jeff Pratt, who works on our staff, he's a absolute baseball nerd like us, and he keeps these insane notes on home runs here at Petco Park. He has logged every single home run that's been hit here, the distance, where it landed. So I'd kind of been working with him when Bill brought up the fact that one hit on the roof, and he goes, I think one did, but I'm not sure. The reason he thought one did was because it was in Bill's notes. And so we finally went back and looked at the video evidence of it all to find out that Jeff was duped by Bill's notes.
So it's a vicious cycle, basically.
It really is.
That Bill is putting misinformation out there, not intentionally,
I don't think,
although we'll have to ask him. And then that sort of began this whole story or myth. Upper deck.
It might be all the old candy he's eating.
So we saw three.
Yes.
How many total?
Total home runs here?
No. Have there been up in the upper deck?
15 is what I've got here that have landed on the
deck. Why don't I put Khalil Greene in that group to hit balls up in the third deck there?
Crazy, right?
I wouldn't have put him because I didn't see either one of those. So I wouldn't put him in
you wouldn't
the group
have guessed
of
that.
Guys.
Yeah, no, I mean,
I wouldn't,
yeah,
I
Justin
wouldn't.
Upton's done it, not as a part of this team, but as a Diamondback, he did it. We talked about Liriano. Carlos Quentin did it. Who else? Ryan Braun, Chase Headley did it. Bloopers beloved Mike Piazza did it.
Braun, was that the three-homer game?
It had to be.
Yeah.
In 12,
yeah,
I think so.
It was crazy.
Oh, he was good. He was really good. Rich Aurelia, he did it as a member of the Padres.
Really?
Yeah. Xavier Nady. So.
X did it. It's cool. What would your approach be, Bavacqua? Home run derby. I'm putting you in the box. I'm saying try and get one up on the roof here. What are you looking for from a hitter perspective?
Just ball on the inside part of the plate.
Just something to turn on.
Yeah.
Yank it. Are you aiming for down the line? Is that kind of the
Yeah, I
the
think that's what you have to
guess.
Do. Yeah. That's the shortest distance to that upper tier. So you got that's what you have to do.
Are you with me that we'll see it in home run derby in July?
Yeah. There's I don't think there's a doubt.
Okay. Very cool.
I'm wondering if there's going to be one hit between the out into the park area. I'm talking about over the beach and over the seats.
Ooh.
You're talking
right center.
Yeah, I think you're talking like over 500 feet. So it's possible.
It happens in home run derby. You see 500-foot home runs in home run derby.
The only two I remember that I've actually seen hit a baseball on during batting practice were El Cañon, Raul Mondesi did it, and Billy Butler did it. Those are the only two. It's probably happened more than that because obviously I don't watch batting practice every day. But those are the two that I remember seeing, and you're like, oh, wow, that's fun.
Dickerson, by the way, Alex Dickerson, a couple days ago, batting practice, upper deck and right field.
You saw it?
I know somebody who saw it.
I heard the story, too.
Yeah.
I've only seen a softball guy do that.
Upper deck, right field. I mean, that thing is back.
No, that's ridiculous.
And he's got a bum hip.
I think that's more impressive than the roof.
I agree.
You've got to try to find out where it went and try to measure it.
I can tell you. If somebody tells me where it was,
yeah,
I'll tell you exactly how far it was.
All right. Well, that brings us to a Twitter question from Paul. He wants to know if they gave a distance for the home run from Solarte last night. I believe officially in the ballpark we had it at 407. Is that correct?
Yes.
StatCast had it at 404.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say 405 and a half.
Sure.
We'll marry the two together, which that's a nice poke.
Yes.
That's my book. Real Zach, also on Twitter, has a question about the home run derby and everything that goes along with it. And Real Zach says, if we think anybody could hit the video board in home run derby, you're shaking your head yes.
I think so.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I mean, we've seen the softball guys do that too. So, I mean, I think it can be done with the baseball.
That could
it's
be an expensive
be
repair.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the windows that could be broken.
Okay. That's a good point. In the Western Metal, maybe open all the doors. And you give everybody gloves or something up there.
Give
that's
the going
to be the
out.
Place to be, right? Like, if you're coming to Home Run Derby next year, you want to be in this building, right? Like, there's nowhere else I want to be. You can have right field. Everybody's going to be jammed into the Western
I hope building. They load up on right-handers, too.
Yeah, they should.
I mean, there's certain parks that are played to certain hands, and this one is definitely right-handed.
It's pull hitter, right-handed pull hitter.
Right-handed pull hitter.
After Chris Bryan and Jock Peterson being in a home run derby this year, there might not be anybody being it.
I know.
Bryce Harper.
Let's not tell people about it. Let's not tell people about how bad their second halves have been.
That's true.
All right, good stuff, Mike. Thanks for coming down.
My pleasure.
And shedding some light on the home run situation. Hope everybody enjoyed that. Always fun to go down memory lane with some long balls of the past.
Oh, just going through the tape and seeing like Mark Sweeney on the bench with hair and mud with hair in the pregame show. And
worth it.
Doc Roberts still in uniform playing. It's kind of fun.
He had a great 2 days.
Yes, he did. That's Mike Grace on the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. We'll step aside when we come back. We got more Twitter questions, not home run related. We'll get to those. Beer Fest is bumping. Padres Social Hour presented by United.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
All right, welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United. We're going to change gears for a few minutes here, and we're going to have some fun. We've got Summer Barmas here and Kristen Eck. That would be Mrs. Barmas and the future Mrs. Norris. And we're gonna talk about something really, really cool that you guys and the players' wives are doing here tomorrow night at Petco Park. If you're watching on television, you can see we've got gift baskets here. And you've got the opportunity to take home these gift baskets and for a very, very good cause. We'll get to that. But thank you for coming by, Summer and Kristen. And Summer, we've got Clint's basket here. Let's go full Vanna White. Talk about what's inside of this thing. So if somebody comes in and bids tomorrow on this, it's a silent auction at Petco Park. What kind of stuff here, and how does it tie in to the Padres shortstop?
So some of these items are actually from Colorado because during the off season, that's where we live. And so I had gone up to Estes Park and grabbed some of his favorite saltwater taffy, and also we got elk jerky and buffalo jerky, and then went to a farmer's market that was close to home, and then went and got some of his favorite salsa. I even put in Christmas decorations because his favorite holiday is Christmas. Let's see. Obviously, I've got some signed stuff in there, a baseball bat. He wears his sweatbands during the game. And then some hats. He loves camo, loves the Rocky Mountains. So got some camo stuff and journeys in there that, let's see, we did, that was our wedding song, Faithfully.
Nice.
And then his walk-up song's on there, too.
Very cool. So we got memorabilia, we got food, we got snacks, we got goodies. And the theme of the thing tomorrow is players' favorite things. So there you go. You're going to get an opportunity to raise money for a great cause and also to learn more about these guys as people and the things that they're interested in aside from baseball. The baskets will be on display for bidding at the home plate gate near the water wall, near the fountain tomorrow, up through the sixth inning. All kinds of different stuff in all of them. And the proceeds will benefit the Monarch School to sponsor a shade structure there. The Monarch School nearby Petco Park, it's a K through 12 full service school, mostly homeless kids that go there. So many of the different families of Padre players are involved with helping out at the Monarch School. A great, great cause. So the money raised will help go to these guys. All right, so Derek Norris's basket is here as well. Kristen, I see there's a T-Rex in there. I think that's a good place to start.
There's a couple T-Rexes in there. That large one particularly I stole from a child in Michael's. It was the last one. I had to beg her for it. Those are probably the less valuable items in the basket. He has his bat in there. He has a cleat, so we're game-worn, game-used bat. He has batting gloves in there. I feel like he's kind of a more simple man than Clint. He doesn't quite have as much going on. Baseball, golf, and dog treats, dog gift cards, and some coffee.
Okay.
And Oreos.
And Oreos. I have to tell the Oreo story.
Okay.
I've been, you know, promoting the Monarch School and this event for a while, and every interview I've done, I had to talk about the Oreos, and they're not just candy he loves. They're very significant because every evening, Derek takes an entire row of Oreos, crushes them up, and puts them in a red Solo cup and pours milk over them, lets them get soggy, and then eats them with a spoon.
All right. Now, let me interrupt you for a moment and tell you that I have done that since I was a kid, and I didn't know that anybody else had ever done it, and my wife gives me an incredibly hard time about doing it. Now, I don't do it every night. I don't exercise the way he does, as I am not a professional athlete, so I couldn't do that every night, but that is exactly how I eat Oreos as well, and I am very excited to know that there is at least one other person in the world does it.
Single night.
Whew, I feel relieved.
We go through a lot of Oreos in our house.
I can imagine. I can imagine. Okay, sorry, I interrupted you there, but That's some good stuff in there. I see Under Armour gear. You mentioned the game used bat and the spikes.
Yep.
That's pretty cool stuff.
Yep, there's some golf balls in there, some Reese's peanut butter cups, a lot of Padres gear in there. Figured mostly Padres fans are going to be auctioning these off.
Absolutely. All right, so again, the details for the Players' Favorite Things basket. We've got Tyson Ross's basket here as well. I see a camo jersey in there. It looks like the real deal. In addition to some other stuff, the proceeds benefit the Monarch School here in San Diego. The basket's on display, silent auction bidding at the home plate gate tomorrow through the sixth inning. So if you're coming out to this game, certainly make sure you swing by there and place your bid if you can, and help do some good for some homeless kids here in the San Diego area, and take home some pretty cool stuff as well. How important is it to you guys, Summer, to be part of this community, and obviously as players, and for both you guys, first year here in San Diego, but wherever you are, to know that, you know, you got to give back. It's not just about, you know, taking from this community when you show up.
I think it's, you know, it's obviously important, but I think what is important to us is that we work together as wives, and it's something that we can do together that we all feel like it's giving back to San Diego by helping the kids and teaching them, you know, that there's going to be people that are going to support them through rough times. And I think that the Padres have done a great job in helping do that. And I feel like we all work together as a team.
Very nice.
Just outside of baseball.
Outside of the baseball stuff. And Kristen, I imagine that's such a huge part of it, you know, the camaraderie and the friendship that you build. Because people really are, as families, you're coming from all over the place and kind of converging on one area during the season.
Oh, definitely. It was really nice today when we went to tour the Monarch School. I mean, we live amazing lives, and the Padres treat all of us family so well on and off the field. And for all of us girls to go and see what these kids do and how much they want to better their lives, it was amazing. And all of us getting together, like, we want to go up there and help them learn how to garden together and help them learn with, you know, how to play different sports and read to them in the classroom. So it was so nice to see the school and know that all of us as a group and even our significant others could go to that school as a family off the field and you know, help out something for a better cause.
Very nice. Kristen Eck and also Summer Barmas. Really cool of you guys to be so involved in this. We're going to plug Kristen's Twitter, too, because she's very big on Twitter, and she has some fun. You were even tweeting the show the other day, I heard.
I was, yes.
I missed that. At Miss D underscore no 36, so you can check her out. I know we've had it up on the screen as well. Thank you guys so much for coming by.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. All right, the details again. It's a Players' Favorite Things basket fundraiser tomorrow at Petco Park. All fans in attendance have the opportunity to bid on more than 15 baskets that include snacks, jerseys, books, gift cards, autographed memorabilia, and more, all from your favorite Padres players, with proceeds benefiting the Monarch School. Hope everybody can get involved in that tomorrow. We'll take a break. More Social Hour right after this. All right, welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United. A look at Beer Fest out at the park at the park. That looks like a good time. You and I are having a good time, Kurt Bavacqua, but I imagine that a lot of people out there are also having a very good time.
Yes, and they are also sick to their stomach that it's the last one of the year.
Yeah, the last Beer Fest of the year. That really is a devastating piece of information. Thanks to Kristen and Summer for coming by. The life of a wife of a professional baseball player, that's not an easy gig,
it's
man.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
It really isn't.
Yeah.
And you really have to think about it, because I don't think a lot of people really think about it. And they think everything's so great because of the money that's being made. But it can be lonely at times.
Sure.
Especially for the wives. I feel sorry for them. And I never did before because I didn't think about it. I really didn't. And then when you really look into it, you realize that it's a tough way. If it's a tough gig.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
You have to give them credit.
And, again, those baskets, and by the way, the count now, it's up to over 20. Over 20 baskets will be available tomorrow at the home plate gate, so check that out. I didn't want to put Kristen on the spot, but I was tempted to ask her, how in the world did Derek Norris start at catcher last night? I mean, can we talk about that? Like, two nights ago, the arm almost comes off like a plastic doll with that slide at the plate, and then the next night he pinch hits, which is crazy in its own right, and he hits the ball like 400 feet to right field, and then last night, not only does he start, like, okay, maybe put him at first base, ease him back. No. He's behind the dish, and he comes up with three hits. That's insane.
When he first got hurt at home plate the other night, I thought he might have a broken arm. That's how bad it looked to me on the replay, especially the way he reacted and coupled with the way he reacted.
Yeah, he got his entire arm slid into.
Yeah, you don't see him react like that. You don't see him stay down. And that's what worried me the most. And to see him come back that quick, it was great.
It's mind-blowing.
It was great. Well, and it reminds the Oreo, your Oreo story is pretty cool.
You don't understand.
I mean, you have something in common with Derek Norris.
I mean, I don't know that it's a thing I can actually go and talk to him about, but I feel good knowing that there's somebody else in the world. Like, you ever have something like that where you thought you were the only one, and then you find, and you're like, oh, man. There's somebody else out there.
It sounded important to you.
I feel significantly moved by that.
It's actually something that you might be able to sit and talk to him about.
I don't know, man. All right. At Evans Tire and Service Centers, buy two select tires and get two free with quality name brand tires and 16 convenient locations. Why shop anywhere else? Visit evanstire.com, home of the buy two, get two. Take a break, come back, get to some Twitter questions if we have time. Padres Social Hour presented by United.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Running out of time on this Friday night edition of Social Hour. Hope everybody's holiday weekend is off to a good start. Do want to get to a couple of tweets, Kurt. Dennis up first talking about Will Myers being back in the starting lineup tonight. He says, what exactly does the organization have to gain by him returning this season? 10.5 games back. He says the jello is jiggling. I mean, we've talked about this a few times. For Will Myers, that peace of mind, knowing he can go into the offseason healthy, feeling good, that means he can start spring training next year, not worried about the risk, just getting ready for baseball. hugely valuable for
it
Will Myers.
It absolutely is, and trust me, he's not out there with any doubt that there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with him.
And he's been medically cleared. That's the reality of the situation, so let him go. Anyway, 4 o'clock show tomorrow. Grace and Randy will be here. I'll be on radio, and we'll talk to you later. Have a good night and a great weekend.